Give the Lord a shout of praise. Are we in the mega church conference? Clap your hands for Jesus and give the Lord a shout of praise. You may be seated in the house and you are welcome to the Macarius Cathedral, which is the venue for the mega church conference 2024. I thought somebody would clap and celebrate the Lord for an opportunity to sit at the feet of anointed men of God to bring to us the word of God for the next 3 days. And you can see that the conference has already started. You have enjoyed some worship. And tonight, to open the conference, to start the conference, to speak to us, is a man of God of no mean repute. He was with our founder of the UD, Bishop Dagwood, from the beginning. He has spoken in many, many, many conferences internationally. I've had the privilege of being with him one or two times as he has ministered in foreign lands, in Africa, in Europe, in America. And he's still a well-sought-after speaker. And he is the host of the Mega Church Conference. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are ready for the Word of God tonight, clap your hands and welcome the host of the Mega Church Conference and the Bishop of the Macarius Cathedral, Bishop Eddie Addy.
Hallelujah. Good to see all of you here at the Mega Church Conference 2024. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus if you are. Hey, is that Bishop Andrew Papu that I see there? Wow. Okay. Good to see you. There's also Prophet Adongo. Bishop Adongo is in the house. Bishop Ekuban, Jonathan Ekuban is in the house. Prophet Daniel Doku is in the house. And so many men of God. Peter Gauga is also here, all the way from the Spintex Road. Okay, please be seated for a moment. Well, we are glad to be here, and we have tonight, and we have tomorrow from 9 a.m. through the whole. When you come tomorrow, relax in the house of God. We are going to be here from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. Some people are not used to being in the house of God for that long, but you have to learn it. Are you with me so far? I believe that it will be a great blessing for every one of us. We have so many pastors that have come from different places at the appropriate time. They will be introduced. And don't worry, be sure that he's doing his work so that he can get his money after. So, okay. Now, we are going to be blessed on Sunday in the morning till the afternoon, early afternoon. Will be in our various churches. Then at 4 p.m., we continue the conference. Yes. So once you finish church, grab something to eat, relax a bit, and then you find your way right here. And we are going to be here together, and God will bless us. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 12. I want to just start. And then at a point, we'll do some introductory things. In Mark chapter 12, from verse 28, this conference is a mega church conference. What does it mean? It means that we are here to deliberate on making our churches grow. There's no secret. It's not like when you hear mega church conference. It's a church conference. It's not a convention for bless me. Although God will bless you in the conference, we are not here to pray for me. What will God do for me? Lord, bless me, bless my marriage, bless my spouse. My marriage is dying, my spouse is some way, my business is not working, I need money. Lord, bless me with money. This is not the type of conference. There are conferences like that in town, plenty. But in this conference, we are here to say, Lord, what can I do for you? Instead of what can God do for me, we are here to say, what can I do for the Lord? And how can I do what I have to do for the Lord in this conference? And so that when we leave this place, we are going with that mindset that God does things for us, but for a change, we want to do something for God. Yes. And the Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you understand? And all these things shall be added unto you. Like what Gentiles are dying for. What people are seeking for. Because you have set your heart to serve God and to love God. God himself will also add things that you have not even asked about. Are you ready for something like that? Yeah. All my life, I've been serving God and encouraging people to serve God. And sometimes it's as though you are not interested in money. Because I've never put money as the thing when I'm relating with people. Pastor Albert, it's good to see you in town. Yeah. And I don't put money as my trump card when I'm relating with people or when I'm preaching. Or when I'm honoring invitations, as if I don't. One day somebody said that, this reverend, at that time I was a reverend, said, this reverend, Adi, he doesn't seem to like material things. I don't seem to like material things. You see, because I was preaching everywhere, he couldn't see me looking for things. So he was wondering that, this reverend, no, he doesn't like material things. But I've learned that if I seek my God first and his righteousness, what people are dying for, what people are praying about. And I will say that I've never prayed for a car, prayed for a house, for money. It's like my prayer request, don't ask for things for myself, as if I don't need anything. Maybe God also thinks that I don't like material things. But I will tell you that I have never lacked material things. Yes. If it's cars, I have some. If you like, bring your car, I'll bring my car. We'll compare. Do you understand? If you like, bring your house, I'll bring my house. And we'll compare. Okay, bring your kaftan, I'll also bring my kaftan. And we'll compare. If you like, bring your shoes, I'll also bring my shoes. We'll compare. Okay, bring your passport, I'll also bring my passport. We'll compare. Then you will see. That's why the Bible says that. Then you will know, you will come and you will know that there is a difference between those who serve God and those who do not. People are joking when we say serve God. They think that you are taking something away from them. When we say come and give yourself for the Lord, work for God, do something. Don't all only think of eradie mabao. So don't let me go empty handed. Empty-handed, but what about you coming before the Lord? The Bible says that when you appear before God, you must also not appear empty-handed. It's not only in offering, but it's also in the souls that you have labored for the Lord. So this is the conference that is going to empower you to become an effective worker in the house of the Lord. If you are here, shout a big amen.
Amen.
Shout a big amen.
Amen.
And so, in Mark chapter 12, I'm going to start reading from verse 28. The Bible says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that dost ask him any questions. So the first point for this conference is pursue the greatest commandment. Pursue the greatest commandment. And what is the greatest commandment, brothers and sisters? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This, the Bible says, is the first and greatest commandment. No matter who you are, this commandment is still the greatest commandment for you. If you are a pastor, this is the greatest commandment. Sometimes when you are a pastor, it's like the greatest commandment is to preach. And the greatest commandment is to check a revelation. But the greatest commandment, the Bible says, the first and greatest is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart means all your genuineness. You see, when we say something is from your heart, it means that you are genuine about it. Pastor Daniel, can I have your phone? Thanks a million. Please, have you de-passworded it so I can take it? I can have it and put my chip inside. You see, the way he's even laughing, somebody is asking whether it is from his heart. Do you understand? It means you have given me the phone. You see, I should take it. But the way you are laughing and so on, people are now, his fellow pastors are wondering whether what he has given to me is from his heart. Sofu, you are welcome too. Good to see you. So many men of God are here. At the mention of their names, even demons can flee. Yes. So when we say love God with all your heart, it means love God genuinely. Because there are people who are in church. They are here because they want to find a wife. And they are here because they want a husband, especially the ladies. Most churches have more ladies than men. Most churches. Yeah. And often, I think the Bible even says that a time will come when seven women will catch one woman, one man, and say that we'll buy our own bread, we'll buy our own clothing. Just give us your name so that we too, we are called Mrs. So people have come to church, but are they genuine about it? Is this from your heart? Maybe you are even in this conference. Is it from your heart? Or your pastor forced you to be here? Or the way the pressure came, it's like if you don't come, you are really some way. So you are forced to be here. But is it from your heart? Because thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Everybody who is in love with somebody wants that person to love from the heart. It's genuine. If you tell me that I'm the only sugar in your tea, is this from your heart? If you say that I'm the only mosquito in your mosquito net, is it from your heart? And I think today I heard one, is my only, which was the last one that prophet gave at the flow. Somebody said that you are my only something on my croissant. That's the only chocolate on my croissant. Croissant is a type of bread. And they say that the person is telling the girl that she's the only chocolate in his croissant, in his bread. Hey! People are rough, so. Somebody saw a girl, he said, were you created or were you crafted? Another person, and then he went to touch the girl, he touched the skin and said, are you real? It's like you are so beautiful that he's wondering whether you are real. So, or you are maybe some type of doll. You are too perfect in beauty. Hey! Somebody looked at a beautiful girl and told the beautiful girl that if beauty was a disease, you would be in intensive care. Hey, some of you brothers, you don't have any raps. Please learn this one so that you can use them from, write them down. You use them from time to time. Some of these Christian brothers, there are no raps. It's just letter. Shall we pray? Those are the raps. Are you listening to me? So when the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, it's trying to say that you must be genuine when you come before God. It must be from the inside. Yes. And when it's from your heart, it means it's passionate. Something from your heart captivates you. Something from your heart, it controls you. You see that your feeling is strong. Yes. And when you see a girl who has been broken hearted, you see that the thing was deep and it's not easy to heal them. Hey! When you see a girl who is broken hearted from a relationship, it's not a simple thing. So the Bible says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all that. This is the first. Before you think of my church must grow, do you really genuinely love the Lord? Because everybody would like, I would like my hall full, like tonight, full. That I am the man of God, I've been man of Godized. And I'm the man of God of the moment, preaching to a large crowd, I like it. But God wants you to love Him first. This is the first and the greatest commandment, is to love God genuinely. Not because He has given you a congregation to preach to. Not because you have a big cathedral. Not because it's air conditioned. Not because there's a lot of money in the ministry. But because there is a God who gave His life for you. There is Jesus who loved you and went to the cross for you. And you love Him not for what He will give you, but just because of who He is. Yes. Thou shalt love Him with all thy soul. Is that the scripture? Thy heart and with all thy soul. The soul is the part of you that is your intellect, your mind, ability to think, your ability to reason, your intelligence. Do you understand? The mind, your analytical acumen, your emotional, the seat of your emotions. What makes you cry? What makes you emotional? What makes you soft. What makes you laugh? What makes you have a good feeling? Do you understand? It's your soul. Yes. Because you can love somebody with your heart, but your soul is not with the person. So there are some people who love with their heart. They are genuine. They really mean that they love you, but they are not emotional. When they come, they are not romantic. It's like, there's no softness of feeling of, any kind of tenderness that you sense. Nothing. His emotions or her emotions are switched off. If you are sick, you have to know where a pharmacy shop is. They are not tender. Are you with me so far? Are you with me so far? Are you with me so far? Yes. They are not tender. Do you understand? Sofu, good to see you again. Sofu, good to see you again. Please, at the appropriate time, there are a lot of powerful men of God here we must introduce. And you too will introduce you. Yes. Because I can see that you are wondering that nobody knows who I am and I'm sitting here. They are just looking at me. Please, I'll introduce you at the right time. But listen to me. We are here for a mega church conference, but the first and greatest commandment for you and for me is to first of all love this God whom we have come to serve. Love this God whom we have come to believe in. To love Him with all our hearts and all our soul. Our soul, your emotions. How come you cry when you watch a Nigerian movie, but when you are watching, you are in the presence of God, there are no emotional tears for His awesomeness and for His manifestations. You have never cried in worship. You have never cried at the hearing of the word of God. You have never wept when God has moved mightily in His church. Where are your emotions? Where are your emotions? That's why he says you love God, but you have to love Him with your emotions. Now, to love Him with your emotions or your soul and also detach your heart is also not good. Because there are people who love with their emotions. Hey, and where are you? And where have you gone? And who is with you? Who is there? Whatever, whatever. But they are not really genuine in their love because of your money that you have. Yeah. One brother told me that these days the ladies in the church, they are high maintenance sisters. If you don't have money, you can't get. Hey! In our days when we're beloved, those in people, we didn't think of money. I never took my beloved even to silver bed or there was no silver bed. They are going to watch a movie or you go to a restaurant or something to go and session here. These days, hey, on their birthday, they need a restaurant. Yes. On Valentine's night, you have to take them somewhere. So let us love God with all our hearts. Let God touch you. Amen. So that your love will be an emotional love for God. Yes. You see people coming, they are in the presence of God, they are like statues. Yes. But God loves, I think sometimes God loves the sisters who worship Him because the sisters there, their hands will be lifted, they'll be moving their body, they'll be crying, they'll be rolling their tears back so that it doesn't, the rouge, the mascara doesn't run into their rouge. Yes. We'll be crying. It's like, oh Lord. And just a simple song. A simple song. The lady, she's dying for the Lord. Then you see the brothers. Even if he will sing, he has tried. So they are brothers. You have to tell yourself that I have to now learn to love my God with my soul. I have to love God with my emotions. I have to love God with my feeling. I have to love God with everything. No girl will like you when you are coming to rap her that even though you are genuine and you are saying that I'd like you to be the mother of my children. She doesn't want it that way. She wants you to say, hi baby. You have to lower your voice. And you have to close one eye. Yeah, or almost close it. And tell her that, hi, baby. Oh. Did you hear me? I said, hi. Because your voice was so low that she couldn't hear. Because the baritone was very deep. Yes. And then you tell her that, oh, I just wanted to tell you something, but I don't know whether this is a good environment. I should flow, eh? Somebody is listening to me so that he can use the raps. Because when you love with just your heart, you are genuine, you are real, but without the emotions, it's not nice. It's not really nice love. So God also likes nice love. Love that comes with emotion. Love that comes with feeling. Love that comes with passion. Yes. And then he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy mind. The mind, which I think also talks about your intelligence, your ability to reason and your thinking capacity, your intelligence, and so that is used for God. When you come to God, it's not that you have switched off your mind and it's just by faith. By faith, we are moving by faith. We are moving by faith. Where's your mind? The mind also must be activated in loving God. In Matthew, I think he just puts it as your soul, and your soul also involves your mind. But here he separates it and says that in your mind, if you are intelligent, use that intelligence for God, loving God intelligently with a very clever mindset and understanding of what you are doing. Even praise, the Bible says praise him with understanding. It talks about learn how to do it well and do it better. Even wives are asking us to learn how to love them better. Every year, the ladies are upgrading their operating system on how to love them. Yes. Every day, and the brothers too also want to upgrade. Because even when you marry and you are, let's say, I think they are grown ups here, I can feel a little free. You are doing things. No brother wants only missionary position. Oh, am I saying something wrong? At a point, you are a missionary, you are a missionary, you are a missionary. At a point, you have to be an evangelist. You have to be an apostle. You have to be a prophet. You have to be a pastor. You have to be a teacher. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because use your mind. Use your mind to know that I'm tired of this one thing. Even food. People are tired of every day rice and stew. Rice and stew. Rice and stew. Rice and stew with fish. Rice and stew with beef. Rice and stew with chicken. Every day rice and these same tomatoes and pepper and onions and oil that have been mixed. We have seen the same one. Use your mind. Go to Ajele, wild Ajele. What's a wild Ajele? Sweet Ajele. And let her reprogram your mind on how to make the thing better. Even if it's stew, this tomatoes, pepper, onions, oil, and salt that are mixed together with some water. And then you sprinkle the chicken inside for it to boil. There are intelligent ways to do it so that it becomes even nicer and more palatable. Now, when you come to God, when you are serving God, it's almost like there's no other innovative ways to serve him. Innovative ways, mind, using your mind and intelligence to come up with new ways and ideas. That's why conferences are good. That's why books are written. That's why videos are given us. That's why people talk to us. People who have gone ahead and people in different countries and different ministries and different environments, they are also there to open our mind and help us to serve God with our mind. Are you hearing me still? Yes. And then He says, with your strength, Ahwadin, your energy. Where is your energy? When you are sitting in church, you look like a dead body without any energy. You won't say amen when you have to say amen. You won't stand when you have to stand. Because they are tough. So good to see you again. Sometimes you have to stand when they preach. Ezekiel 2:2 says that, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me up on my feet. There is a moment in the service when preaching is going on, the Spirit can enter you and he will set you on your feet. When he is setting you on your feet, you are sitting down because there is no energy. There must be energy. There must be energy. We must feel energy, movement, and throwing of hands, throwing of legs, movement. Everybody moves. Those who will be said they don't move, they move. Once you have one child, I know that you moved. If your wife is pregnant, you see the brother. I'm talking more about brothers are more static and more statue-like when they are serving God. But it's changing from this conference. I said it's changing from this conference. We will serve God with our energy. Energy. The dancing. The movement. The going from this area to that area. When you were chasing girls, you used to move from Ashalebuche, you go to Medina and cross over to, Hacho. On foot, with a car. Energy was there to chase a girl, but as it has come to following up converts and following souls, that one, there is no energy. But in this conference, God is going to energize you to serve him, energize you to move around. I saw a man the other day who was 88 years old. He's a golfer. He says, I still go to the gym. He was tapping his stomach. I still go to the gym. He says, some of my mates, they have got hip replacement surgery. He mentioned one name. He mentioned another name. They have all got hip replacement. But as for me, I'm still moving. I can still make pass. I can still drive the ball. I can still say, hey, 88. Oh. And some of you, 28. You look more like 82. Some of you, you are only 24. But you look more like 76. Hey! But in this conference, energy will come into you. Energy to serve the Lord. Energy to preach his word. Energy. You need energy. Without energy, you can't serve God for a long time. Some of us, some every day, my knee, my ankle, my stomach, my here. Hey! Why are you retiring before you retire? That man, he said, 88, said, me, I'm not retiring. 88, oh. He says he's not retiring. He has retired, but he says he's not retiring. He says he travels, he goes to different countries. He has gone to every country, every continent. He's going, he'll go for holidays here. He travels here, and he plays golf on different continents, different nations, going travel. 88! 88! And for God, all your energy is finished. Maybe if your job was to send you, go here. Some of you marketers, go from house to house. You'll be working. Energy is there for the work. But when it comes to the house of God, let's follow up some converts. Let's follow up some souls. Go to that house. Go to that. You see that energy is gone. It's finished. That's why the Bible says that the first and greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength and energy. By the grace of God, I'm 61. But Jack, retirement be an him. Sometimes when I stand with 35-year-olds, as if I'm just 2 years older than them. Meanwhile, they are far young and they can be my children. I have three grandchildren. Wow. But I run more than many of the young people. I jump more than some of the dancers. I sing louder than some of the choristers. And when I was younger, they used to tell me that, oh, Onyini Obejai. Onyini Obejai. Obejai, oh. Obejai. January number 61, Reverend Steve Manson was preaching here. Oh, fire, the spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me at my feet. Ah, I got on the stage. I ran from here. Run. Somebody said, ah, is Bishop Eddie 61? It's not possible. It's not that my brother mo. Yeah, my mother mo. Energy. Energy for my Jesus. I'm ordained for my Jesus. Uba, sorry, I will die. Eh? You will die early. One day, somebody died in a church. They brought an ambulance. When they came, they carried 8 people before they found a dead one. Now, when you know how to die. Prophetess, you are welcome. Good to see you. Long time. They carried 8 people. Ask your neighbor, would you have been one of them? Would you have been one of them? Are you the type that will be carried before the... Hey, I'm not dead though. I'm not dead. Hey. Please sit down. I've not finished. Some of us pastors, when we are preaching, we have sleepers. You know the sleepers corner. So you always avoid the sleep. If it's on this side, you'll be preaching on this side. Because when you see their faces, you get discouraged. But in this conference, God is putting energy. Energy. And tell somebody, where is your energy? Where is your energy? Jesus said, not Jesus, Paul was writing to the church. He said that, in Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, that word, verse 27 still, that word wrinkle is amomus. Amomus. Wrinkle symbolizes old age. Wrinkle. He's coming for a church without wrinkle or any such thing, spots like sins and things, spots. But he's talking about wrinkle. It must be a wrinkle-free church. May our churches be wrinkle-free churches. Our members be wrinkle-free members. Hey! Kwajo, at the age of 42, you look like somebody who is 92. Small manager position that they have given you, madam, you are welcome. Small manager position they have given you, your status has affected you. You have become like somebody who has been bathed in starch. Are you a robot? Old age. All characteristics of old age must leave our system. Yes. The way we dress must change. Some of us cry, you are young, but your hair has whitened too early. Jack, amomolize it with some yomo so that when we see you, we don't see old age, we see young age. Yomolize it so that you are momolized by yomolization. Amomolization by yomolization. Yes. Yes. You look younger. Well, me like this, I have white hair, but my yomolizing. Yes. So when you see me, I look younger. But if I was to leave my hair the natural way, oh Jesus, you see that my all my mates have retired. They are all retirees. I'd have joined the Veterans Association at Sankara Circle there. Veterans Association, but that me only old people more butcher me more kind Ghanaian times. But now I'm preaching at a conference. I'm holding the microphone. I'm walking around. I'm walking with speed. I'm walking with energy. 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 You see, even young men, they cannot trot.
Energy. We'll run around. We'll run around. Energy. Energy.
What are you talking about? Why? Why have you become so old so quickly? And because you are maybe 55 or you are near retirement age, snake has written to you. It's like, get ready, get ready. Oh, banana number calls. Like, look, I have to take my time before my something will lock. Nothing will lock. Nothing is locking.
Oh, yeah.
We are preaching till the end.
Amen.
Papa Hagen was 86 when he died. 2003. He was 86. At age 86, he died somewhere in March or so. January, he did his last conference. He was praying, laying hands on the people, speaking in tongues. He was singing in the spirit. Hey! At 86, already now, you who signs of old age, you are almost retired. Come to church late. Come and sleep. Obana, you have a way of arranging yourself. When you are you chocolate, it never dangles. You have a way of balancing your neck so that it holds your head very steady and the eyes will close. It's like this man today baby our started verse in every, you know. He won't finish now. So it looks like we are going to be here for a long time. Now, many kumo, let me go and find somewhere to sleep. I need to sleep. Love God with all your heart. That's the first commandment. So that even before you are a preacher, that's why as a preacher, I can't see myself that I can't dance or I can't lift my hands or I can't run around. It's not that. I'm very intelligent. Oh, you don't think I'm intelligent? My intelligence, and I'm not mature. They used to say that I'm not mature when I was in the university. One senior brother, he used to say that he nicknamed me Radical. Just said, we are when this was shit, we are gigi. When you grow, you stop this type of giddy giddy something where you are always. And I was in the fellowship when the preaching was very nice. And I said, preach. Sometimes I said, preach before they'll be looking at me. I wonder, why is he saying preach? Why not? If you read the Bible, Ezra opened the Bible says that, and the people stood up and they shouted, amen, amen. Even curses in Deuteronomy 27, the Bible says that anybody who removes the landmark of his neighbor from his land, cursed the people shall curse him. The Bible says, and all the people shall say, amen. Curses cry, I can't amen. Not blessings. Sometimes our churches die too quickly because nobody moves. Nobody says amen. Hey, men of God, Jesus. And then the demons have run away because at the mention of these names, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Before your name will also come. Too powerful. I mean, your hair is very nice. Oh, it's rich. But after some time, no, you look older than your real age. Yes. Oh no, you're in America. Say, oh, me who, Papa? I saw your father at the other on the other. He said, "Hey, no, that's my husband." You have to explain. So it's just that his hair became white early. No. Me beard. If I leave my beard, it's all white. Because of that, I never leave even one grain of it to show anything. As soon as you remove your white beard, you look 10 years younger. Abigail, Yeah. That's why he says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Yes. Try and youngify yourself. Yes. And make yourself a little bit more fiery and something. Jesus went to the temple. He whipped everybody out. And they said that, kwe, inelezio ni. Inelezio. That's for Jesus. They saw his eyes red. He moved. Here, he was turning tables. He was pushing beds were flying. He was whipping people out. They said, wow, this is zeal. Zeal for God. So brothers and sisters, this is the first and greatest commandment. Love God that way with energy. Love God that way with intelligence. Love God that way with emotions and feeling and passion. And love God genuinely with your heart. And let it be seen by all. Then he says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So these two commandments, love your neighbor as yourself, is the pivotal scripture on which ministry hangs. Yeah. If you can't love people as yourself, you will not be a good shepherd. You will not be a good minister. Yeah. You will never be a good pastor. Never be a good minister. Because you have to think, if it was me. The other day I was telling some people that when I look at my bishop, my prophet, when he's dealing with anybody, his mind is that, if you were the one, how will you feel? There can be a meeting. Let's transfer this. Let's move this. Then somebody will just make a call. You know you have been transferred, eh? So start getting ready. He said, if it were you, how will you feel? That somebody will just pick a phone and just call you. We don't do things that way. But people don't consider other people. That if I was the one who has to be transferred, or who has to be sacked, or who has to be, you know, something has to be said, some discipline, and you were the one, what? How will you feel? Very important. When you don't think of things that way, you never become a good minister. So you must love God. These roots, you must have these dual roots. Love God, love people. You will be a perfect minister. Clap for Jesus. Take your seat. That will be the end of part one. Clap for Jesus. So, wonderful. So this is the end of part one. We are going to take, it's not a break, but we are going to receive an offering. We are going to receive some choirs. And then after that, I'm going to invite my friend. He says he's a son, but I mean, if you're in the body now, if you're saying you're here, cannot give birth to such a body. I see your boys are here. We make a beer, my bishop. Beer, our boys were here. Now, boy, the boy, you tell me your boy, boy, here. So, you just bring us a word of exhortation, and after that, I will conclude, and then we'll finish for tonight. And then tomorrow night, tomorrow, 9 a.m., make sure you are here to receive all that God has for you. Your life will never be the same again. Clap for Jesus. Let me pray for you. Place your hand on your heart. I believe that in these last days, the Bible says that the love of many shall wax cold. It's not easy to love God consistently for many years. You see, so I want to pray that God will touch your heart, soften your heart to love Him. Interestingly, this morning, one of the early times we're praying, prophet was leading us to pray that I will love you. Psalm 18 verse 1. I will love you. I will love you. I will love. And he said that sometimes the things of this world, the happenings of this world, can break your heart. And the only thing you can really love is now God. It's like your heart can be affected by, you love people, they disappoint you. You love this person, it doesn't really work. You love this one, then eventually you say, Lord, I will love you. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. So lift your hand, place your hand on your heart. Father, oh yes. Maybe pray for yourself in the moment. Ask God that, Lord, help me to love you. Help me to love you. Maru kishama hadagaze. Lekro ma santan delimi kabara. Rio mahandele mi kabaria moshikendele minale. Ibawato sa mahande ikyo shidala. Yes, Father. Lord, I pray. Soften my heart to love you. 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 On chabawa kasa feli maranande. Oh yes, Lord, that my love for you will not grow cold over the years. As the years go by, my love for you will never grow cold. My fire for God, my heart love, my emotional love, my mind love, my strength love will never go down. But I will be stronger still, loving you with all my heart, loving you with all my soul, loving you with all my mind, loving you with all my strength. Oh my God, dashindele me koriyama, anda keso mikabie kabali ario mahinge, zio kafali marata shike, zesesesio simahanda limarade, niyo kafanda la marota jilimena, avya mikora misheli imio kafie mahida, zesesusua mihandeli garoda jiniya kabale, zesio ario kapandeli mara, touch our hearts to love you, soften our hearts to love you. Imaka fandeli marana shike siminale. Etio kafali mine. As pastors, as shepherds, as workers in your house, as people of God. Oh Father, touch our hearts to love you. Imunda barana. Inde keperia mosandeli mine. Iendele mekoria. Rama kafanda la maruta sinyama. Desobaya marama shike dea. Meadow. Namasumuye meadow, oh, namasumuye ede. This room. Thank you for these few moments you've gathered us together, that we may love you, that we may serve you, that we may love you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, with all our strength. One without the other is not complete, Lord. Help us to love you with all our being. We thank you for the privilege of serving the King. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Take your seat.